This is David with Correll Trainer.
This is Cassie Green from Apparelist.
This is Gordon and Firemark from the Entertainment Law Update.
And you're listening to
Two Regular Guys Podcast.
Hosted by Terry Combs RG, Regular Guy,
and Aaron Montgomery.
The place to be for industry news.
The best dad jokes on earth, along with relevant topics to apparel decorating.
Prepare for the wild.
All right, welcome into the show. It is Friday, December 15th, 2023. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me over at Our Success Group. And my mission is to inspire you to build a business that you love. And so we get to do a little bit of that today, Terry. This is one of our favorite topics. So we're going to share our thoughts on preparing you and your business for 2024.
You know, Aaron, I always kind of laugh because when we prepare for this show, I have to look back over, this is our 11th time to do this, and I have to go back and say, did I already talk about this? But I guess over a couple of years, it's worth repeating some things. But, you know, I think I get more out of this than hopefully our audience gets a lot out of it as well. But it kind of makes me start to think about, you know, next year and things that I want to do and maybe change up from the previous year. So I always look forward to doing this more. Like I said, you know me, Aaron, I like to make lists.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity to make some lists. I'm going to talk about making some lists, as a matter of fact, as we go along.
Excellent. Oh yeah. Yeah. This is always, you know, now I don't always go back and look. Fortunately, you put last year, so at least I don't duplicate last year's in the list. But so I may be a broken record, but that's okay. It's like you said, it's really good to be able to just thinking about it, right? Just being intentional about, okay, what do I really want 2024 to be like, and how am I going to do that? Can be so crucial. So definitely a favorite of ours, So on top of that, Terry, make sure you guys stay all the way to the end and get your helping of the secret sauce. This week, I'm going to be diving back into my mission, and I'm going to share my thoughts on specifically how to create a business that you love. So I'm looking forward to sharing that insight at the end of the show today, Terry.
That's awesome. And looking forward to, I guess we're going to talk a little bit more about upcoming secret sauces, but we also have the news coming up, and I think that that Cassie Green has certainly dressed for the occasion.
Yes, it is in the spirit of the holidays. So let's get Cassie in here, and she's got some news to share with us.
Couple headlines for you all this morning. Quite a bit going on this week. Most of you probably saw this first headline, but Gildan names new president and CEO. So earlier this week, Gildan Activewear announced the departure of Glenn Chamandy as president and chief executive officer and director of the company. Vince Tyra has been appointed president and CEO effective February 12th, 2024. Craig Levitt, who is been a director of the company since 2018, will serve as interim president and chief executive officer until Tyra assumes his new position. Vince Tyra previously led Alpha Broder, serving as CEO for 6 years there. And then before that, he was president of Fruit of the Loom, where he led a turnaround of the company, ending in its sale to Berkshire Hathaway. So in a completely separate statement from Chamandy, he says he received a termination notice on December 10th without cause. He said, I quote, "It is unfortunate that my vision of the path forward has differed from that of other board members. This comes after 40 years of service in the impressively successful company founded by my family." So again, probably not breaking news to most of you, but there have been some updates this morning that I wanted to share. So according to multiple news reports, two of Gildan Activewear's shareholders are demanding Chamandy be reappointed to the company's top post. So kind of keep an eye on that. We'll try and update you as we can at apparelist.com. Second headline I want to share with everybody, again, probably an announcement you all saw. Pantone 2024 Warm and Cozy Color of the Year helps decorators embrace color as an inspiration. So it's official. The 2024 color of the year is peach fuzz, according to Pantone, who is the authority on all things color. The Pantone Color Institute named its color of the year earlier this month, declaring a need for compassion and human connection in the year ahead. The company describes peach fuzz as a velvety, gentle peach whose all-embracing spirit enriches heart, mind, and body. Yes, apparel decorators should pay attention to this and should care. I spoke with Vicky Ostrom. She is a futurist and trend editor for Trend Dependent and Sanmar. And here's what she has to say. Again, I quote, "To say that you don't like the Pantone 2024 color of the year would be akin to saying you don't like sunrises or sunsets. The color of the year is never about only that color that is named. Any color of the year needs to be taken as an idea. The palest versions become soft florals for festivals or soft calming colors on technology. You can also create calming cozy blankets for home goods. The richer colors become amazing embroideries of sunsets on baseball caps or digital prints on t-shirts. You can layer that over with inspiring messages. So again, use the color of the year as some inspiration for decoration going into 2024. Final headline for all of you today. Millcraft's Buy and Give initiative amasses nearly $770,000 for regional nonprofits. So Millcraft, which is a wholesale distributor for several printing verticals, including apparel decoration, gives back to the communities in the Midwest. The Cleveland, Ohio-based company ran its Buy and Give initiative for its eighth year this year. It first debuted in 2015. Since then, the Buy and Give copy paper purchasing program has had serious impact, contributing around $700,000 to support the charitable work of nonprofits. A $1 donation is made to the program for every carton of Buy and Give brand office paper bought. So in order to make this happen, Millcraft does collaborate with Domtar, a sustainable paper, pulp, and packaging company. Maybe all of you remember Printing United Alliance also partnered with Domtar earlier this year at Printing United Expo. So they partner to promote the multi-purpose paper across Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, Michigan, Tennessee, and West Virginia. So if you click on that news link, you can see a complete list of nonprofits Millcraft donated to throughout 2023. And that's everything I've got for you today, guys. Back to you.
All sorry, right. We left you hanging there for a second.
We just wanted to check out the sweater just a little bit longer. It was awesome. Thank you, Cassie. And thanks to Cassie just in general for her continuous support of our program. But the fact that, you know, she is so tuned into making sure that our industry has the information, right? So if you're not subscribed to Apparelist, you're doing it wrong. So get over there and get subscribed to Apparelist and Cassie.
And you're claiming for 2024, you need to subscribe to Apparelist.
First thing on the list. We've already given nuggets away.
the whole Gildan thing, somebody terminated the board demanding them be put back at Christmas time. That is literally the theme to seven Hallmark movies that I've seen.
Well, it's also the theme of what happened at Chat GPT or you know, OpenAI apparently too. But they brought him back. So I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe it'll be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, real quick before we get to the dad joke here, I just wanted to make sure that we say good morning to everybody that's tuned in live. We appreciate you guys popping in here. We got Ramona. So good to see you all this week. I'm going to have to put my glasses on for this. Dan Campbell, Dot Tone Dan. First one in. Well, second, but close. Love it, Dan. And Rena, good morning. Sheila says, looking forward to this conversation. Planning ahead is something I'm working on. I'm always looking for good advice to make a better plan. The Mr. Yellow Legal Pad has got your back here. So good morning to Michelle. Thanks for joining us. And we appreciate that. And then Eric bringing us all of the links that you need to make sure that you are caught up on all of the news and happenings. And we've got Chuck checking in this morning. Good morning from his account there. So Terry, it is the season. Is there a holiday-spirited dad joke in your repertoire here?
Yeah, you might have noticed in the outline that I changed the dad joke three times. I think this is funnier.
Okay, all right. I kind of like the one of the other ones, but we'll see. We'll see how this one lands, all right? So, okay. Eric, whenever you're ready.
All right, Aaron, did you know I was in an elevator with 8 department store Santas yesterday?
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, it got a little claustrophobic in there.
I love it. Oh, there we go. There's the banner. If you're catching the podcast version, you every once in a while should get over and check out the live version, because Eric always has the backup banner just to make sure that everybody understands the dad joke.
Just so everybody gets it. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, Terry, so I liked. Okay. How much did Santa pay to park his sleigh on the roof?
I don't know, Aaron. How much?
Nothing. It was on the house.
That was my first one. Yeah.
That was your first one. I don't know. I think I may have butchered the other one. Yeah. I may have butchered it, but I like that one too. So I told that one to my son. And so I had to get it out there into the world.
There you go.
All right.
Nothing wrong with doing 2 holiday dad jokes, since it's the last opportunity to do that before Christmas. So
that's right. That's right.
All right, Aaron, before we dive in, we want to thank everybody for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We need your voices still. As you can see, we're doing all new intros, so be a part of that. We would love to have you participate. Go to decorators.inc/intro, and just read a few lines and be a part of the show going forward for the next year or two. And we are always looking for new guests. So if you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2 regular guys to book a future episode. You can also email at info@2regularguys with your show ideas. If you are listening to the podcast version of the show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys podcast with all of your industry friends so they can become regulators too. And we would appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcast, YouTube Podcast. Wherever you do your podcast listening, we are there, and we would love for you to give us a review, hopefully a really good review. I love their dad joke, for instance. That would be a great review. And
do we live up to the best dad jokes on the planet that Cassie's
exactly.
So graciously given
just
us.
Like the intro says, and we didn't write that. If you're watching us live right now, please join in with your comments, your questions, and share with us what you're doing with your plans for the coming year.
Yeah, I always love getting perspectives, right? I mean, this is something that I think about pretty regularly. You know, it's kind of my job at our success group is helping people kind of figure this stuff out. But at the same time, man, I've heard some great, so just perspectives is, it's all about getting different perspectives, and then we can take and choose and build what works best for us. So I'm excited to hear the comments and those that are tuned in here today. So let's dive into this, Terry. Let's do this. And like I said, you're always so gracious to put the previous years in there, so I don't at least repeat every year. But why don't we just give that a quick review, just like a real quick overview of what we talked about last year. So that way, Maybe there's a few extra golden nuggets that if you didn't catch last year's, you've got that. So
all right, why don't you start off, Terry? Read through the list, or?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Last year, one of mine was, do you know your brand? And we went into great detail about what brand means. Aaron, you did love that you brought up that branding, you said. And let's see, clarity on who you are and who you serve is important. Eric brought up review and forecast further out than you think you should. Really good advice.
Yep.
My next one was, in 2023, become an expert at what you do. So hopefully some folks took us up on that. Mm-hmm. Aaron, you talked about systems. Eric brought up learn to prune and understand fitness. Eric always has great titles for the things he does.
We should have him title all of our stuff from now on, Terry.
You're going
to
do what?
I said we should just have him title all of our stuff from now on.
That's true.
It will sound way better.
He could be our AI. He could be our EI.
Chat ERICH.
I can't see him. Is he shaking his head?
And
the last one was one I brought up that said, plan to be the go-to decorator in your area, in your marketplace. So I think we had a really good conversation last year with all those things. And I think we ran a little long, but it's just you and I this year. Eric has just been inundated with work. So we gave him a reprieve. So he's just back there pushing buttons for today's show, but I'm sure he'll have some comments as well.
Yes, indeed. And Terry, just on your last one, plan to be the go-to decorator in your area. Obviously you said as the number one bullet point is what?
Do good work and deliver on time. And
baby.
When I do my classes, I repeat that three times. I have a slide that says it three times. Do good work and deliver on time. That's all you need to do to be successful in this industry, in my opinion.
That's it. There you go.
That encompasses it all.
I love it. All right. Well, so Terry, let's go ahead and dive into this year's and So you start us off again.
Sure.
Let's just make sure that everybody's got your junior yellow legal pads out and you're ready to go. Or, you know, maybe you've got an actual note taking app that works for you too, but whatever that is.
But I believe I've told you before, Aaron, when the zombie apocalypse comes, I'll still have all my notes.
I know. See, but that, never mind. We'll talk about that later. That's offline. All right. Well, Terry, where do we start here?
Well, my first one is basically stop and take a deep sigh of relief. And for that, I mean, everybody that's here, that's still in business, you made it through the worst business interruption in decades, maybe in the last century. And so just to take a stop and go, I made it. Now what? So what did you learn about you? What did you learn about your business as we were all kind of, well, I don't want to say all, as many people were struggling through the COVID situation? Not everybody struggled. Some people were, I think, prepared without realizing what they were preparing for, for business interruption, or they were able to shift gears very, very quickly. And I'll give an example, and I've talked about this before. Equipment Zone, we were already doing webinars maybe every couple of months, and there's no more trade shows. There's no people coming in to either location, you know, in New Jersey or here in Arizona to get demos. So Jay Bissell and myself and all of the crew there at Equipment Zone, we started doing webinars twice a week. Educational webinars. So for Equipment Zone, zero interruption in revenue based on, I mean, everybody's at home, right? Everybody was hungry for information. So we did a lot of things like you and I do every week, Aaron. We just did a lot of education, marketing. How can you market in these difficult times? That sort of thing. So think about what you learned and for yourself personally and for your business. And you know what? Who helped you keep your business afloat? What can you do to show appreciation and build on that relationship? None of us did this by ourselves. You know, remember, Aaron, we had those cocktail parties once a month and they turned into business planning sessions where people were talking about how do you do the government? What was it? PPP. How do you do the paperwork? How long should this take? And it was a bunch of business owners having a cocktail. And it was almost like at a trade show, we're all sitting around in the hotel bar eating wings, talking about, you know, how to do business better. So who helped you out there? And take a look at what you can do to show your appreciation for that help. And here's what I have seen, Aaron. And I think it's been helpful for everybody who sells equipment or supplies, things like that. I've found that people who had not diversified their technology have started doing that. And I think that's good advice for 2024. What new technology can you add to your business where you can kind of spread out your business? And again, along those lines, take the equipment you have and diversify your customer base. Who else? What other market can you get into that will kind of spread out the revenue so that if we have another interruption, and who knows, that you'll be able to weather the storm a little better by having your the balls in different baskets, or the eggs in different baskets, as it were.
Yeah.
So
yes,
that's my advice for 2024. Stop and take a deep sigh of relief and reflect.
Yeah. That reflection. What a great tip there, Terry. And Ramona, you had said, that it's kind of over. And then you kind of said, well, who knows for how long kind of thing. Right. And so Ramona says, Terry, is it over? Is it really over?
I live in the free state of Arizona. It's been over for a long time here.
And then Kim Johnson, good morning. Thanks for tuning in on your travels, it sounds like. So yeah, I think I love all this stuff, Terry. I love everything that you shared there. And I think one thing I'd like to add, when you talked about diversifying your technology, think mm-hmm. about not just the printing equipment, right? I think sometimes we live in this world where the printing, we love the cool toys, right? And so people have a collection of printing equipment, right? And so maybe it's diversifying your technology. Maybe it's upgrading your shipping system, for example, right? Sure. If you're standing in line at the post office, might not be ideal, right? Because more online business, all that kind of stuff happened through COVID. So you're probably shipping more than you ever have, potentially. And so, looking at stuff like that. And then also when you talk about diversifying your customer base and technology, I would say diversify even deeper into the relationships, right? And so maybe diversifying your technology means strengthening or gaining a new partnership with somebody that does something different than you, right? Or can Absolutely. Support you, can you do everything? Yes. Should you do everything? No. Right. That's, I think, where we have to kind of figure out that out, where to draw the line. So
exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, first one for 2024 here is to think about sustainability initiatives, right? And I think we're continuing to see the customer's priorities changing. And depending on what your market is and who you serve and stuff like that, it may be more so than others, right? You might go, my customers don't care. But guess what? They're going to. I've got a 12-year-old and they're talking about it in middle school, right? They're talking about sustainability and green. And, this is what they're being... these are things that are being talked about at that level. So I think we're beyond the buzz marketing term of what sustainability means. And it's almost in certain, depending on what market you're in, again, it's becoming almost a requirement to do business, is to really understand that. Right. And so, with that increased awareness that the buyers are having and kind of more of a demand for eco-friendly products. And the other side of it too is ethically produced apparel, right? I think there's a, which again, we're responsible for delivering that stuff at the end. And so we got to understand. So I guess my point is, understand what that truly means to your customers, right? What is sustainability? What does ethically produced, does that impact them at all, right? And so it means having the conversations with your customers and finding out what is important to them, right? And so we've got our friend Doug Quinn, not in the industry, but a great friend of ours. He says, Merry Christmas, gentlemen. He says, logs are a renewable resource. So he's in the log home industry, by the way. Yes, great indeed. Friend of mine. Thank you, Doug. I think that's kind of the idea. Can you do a little bit of planning ahead work this on 2024 on sourcing some more sustainable materials? I know the stuff that I'm shipping here, we use a lot of the little mini bubble, right? And that's a ton of plastic. And so it's like, okay, how can I improve that, right? Do I need to go to something, and then how can we reduce waste? Adopting eco-conscious production methods. Right. But like just thinking of, I'm not saying that we've got to go and just change everything that we're doing. And it is like this is, but I think this is really kind of crucial to be thinking about more so than we probably do. I think too many of us that aren't that kind of in the smaller business realm probably brush it under the rug a little bit more than maybe we should. And maybe I'm just speaking for myself. So, I don't know. But this is a perspective that I know that I need to be thinking more about personally. So hopefully that makes sense for folks. So, Terry, what are your thoughts there?
Well, when you talk about the bubble wrap, it reminded me, the farmer's dog, and you've all seen the commercials for the farmer's dog. And when that dog food comes in, it's printed on the insulation that just put it in your sink. And you take the insulation, put it in the sink, and turn the water on, and it dissolves. I mean, that's today's world. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Tom Riley on talking about used equipment, and he made a point about sustainability, you know, and that equipment that's sitting in the corner of your shop, you know, somebody else could repurpose that equipment, just kind of like you were saying. You know, we've got a lot of toys around, and I like the idea of looking at it like that. And there's nothing wrong with promoting that. This apparel was printed on repurposed equipment, you know, or something along those lines. But I 100%, you know, it of course has been the buzzword for the last couple of years, but it is important to more and more people. And so, I you know, everybody has to start thinking about it, and there's nothing wrong with talking about, you know, patting yourself on the back with your customers about it as well.
Yeah, I agree. Eric said, learn more than just how to make cool stuff when looking for education, same as the shiny object syndrome, right? And so, yeah, really good points. Okay. Yeah. Well, Terry, we're cruising. We're doing great here, man. Let's keep this train a rolling. And if you guys that are tuned in live right now have questions, comments, thoughts, ideas, what are you doing to plan for 2024? Let's fill up the comment section here too. But yeah, Terry, absolutely. What's next on the list?
Well, next for me is a subject that near and dear to my heart. It's Indeed. It's time to implement 52-15 training in your shop. You've heard me talk about it 1,000 times if you've been listening to us for the last 11 years, but it's a new year. Maybe you need a new approach to education in your shop. Most shops that I walk into do virtually nothing to educate their crew. And part of it is, I don't know where to start. Part of it is I don't want to teach them everything I know because they're going to go over to the competition. That's ridiculous. Because if you have a well-trained staff, it doesn't hurt you when somebody goes to the competition or decides for that they're going to go back to school or their spouse got a job in New Orleans. So, hey, we're leaving in a month. If you have a well-trained staff, you don't have those hiccups, those panic moments that people have when, you know, a key person leaves your business. What is it? 52-15 and a lot of our regular regulators could give this description because I've said it so many times, but on Monday morning, every single week, take 15 minutes to talk about some subject. And, you know, my example is always like, if you're in a screen printing shop, take 15 minutes Monday morning and talk about squeegees, soft durometer, medium, hard durometer, triple durometers, what they're for, what's the function of all these different squeegees. And then that's just a little bit of information that maybe a lot of folks in your shop don't really understand what the difference is. And The next week it's a different subject. The next week it's a different subject. 52 weeks, 15 minutes of training. And hey, it doesn't have to be 15 minutes. Maybe it's 10 minutes. But the idea is talk about something in your business. Maybe it's how a process that you do in your business. And before you know it, you will have the best trained staff in your marketplace because most people don't do this. Training in most garment decorating shops is stand there and watch what she's doing for the next 2 days. And by the way,
she's been here a week.
So she was a good listener. But anyway, you know, we're all about education here. You guys, I don't know, maybe you get tired of hearing us talk about education, but it's so critical to our businesses that our staff is well-trained. And guess what? They're not going to go to the competition because you're investing in them. They feel that and they want to be a part of your company. So when I've done this in shops and, you know, Aaron, I've had as many as 75 production floor employees and had very, very little turnover because people knew that the staff knew that we were investing in them and they wanted to help the company succeed. So you're sitting there thinking, yeah, Terry, but where do we start? Well, I have an idea for you. We started a new thing called Secret Sauce, and they last a couple of minutes long. Go and grab all those and use the ones that are pertinent to your shop as a start, and watch a 2-minute video, and then spend the next 8 or 10 minutes talking about that and how it relates to your business. So we're giving you a head start. 5215 training is basically secret sauce. So go back and listen to those and use them moving forward. And what you'll find is it gets to be easier and easier to come up with ideas about what you want to talk about, because not only yellow legal pad, Aaron, but for our podcast listeners, I'm holding up a little cardboard notebook, and I sit and I write down ideas for 5215, and I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of them in here. So go out and buy one of these. I think they're $2, and just start writing ideas, and you can break down what you do. I mean, for Eric, he could talk about the different types of thread, and you know, before you know it, you're going to fill up 52 weeks, and nothing wrong with going back and repeating some of those, you know, as you get new employees and things like that, or just remind people about it. But 5215 training, I'd like to see you guys start at the beginning of January if you're not doing that already.
I love it. That's great. And Terry, real quick, I want to, you touched on it, and I think you did a really good job, but I think there's something, like you said, to be said about what that does. Like, you know, even if that person in your business, right, maybe that's not really the part of the business that they're involved with, right? Because you're training the entire staff, right? I mean, that's the idea here.
Exactly.
You know, so from your receptionist to the shipping person to, they're all learning about the squeegee durometer or whatever, right? And you go, okay, well, why does my receptionist need to know this? Or why does my shipping person need to know? But the reality is, when they have that education, when they, like you said, they're going to then talk about your business in a more intelligent way. You know, maybe they're going to be at home and at a holiday party, and somebody's like, oh, you know, I've been buying screen printing and it just sucks. The stuff cracks and it's just terrible. And they'll go, well, hey, here's why that's happening. And our business, they train all of us. We know exactly what to look for, and nothing leaves our shop that's going to look like that. And that little interaction with somebody could be your next biggest customer. But if they're just like up there in shipping, they don't need to know that, then you lose that opportunity.
You know, Aaron, my best example of that is Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago, up by the airport in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Every single person that goes to work at their company is required to attend my screen printing class when I'm there. The shipping department, the receptionist, the new sales staff, every single person goes through that class so that they have a better understanding of what Atlas Screen Supply does. And just like you said, you know, the shipping department, well, why do they need to know about squeegees? Because an order comes through and you know, this doesn't all match what they're ordering here. Or maybe we should call this customer back and say, you know, you're buying emulsion for water-based ink, but you're also buying Plastisol ink. Are you sure this is what you want? And so that's one of the reasons I've done my classes up there for, gosh, over a decade, is because of their commitment that everybody in their company understands what they do, you know, every day. So
I love that. So important. All right, let's get a couple of the comments here. Eric earlier said, time for a Two Regular Guys 5215 series? ? Well, you know, who knows? Maybe there's something there. Who, you know, when Terry finally retires, we'll have to figure out something to keep him busy. But and then we also do have the secret sauce, which is kind of like Terry just said. This is the and there's the playlist if you actually want to. I'm a couple behind, so they're not all quite there yet, but soon, coming soon. Let's see here. Oh, Eric said recording notes is totally critical. That's a great tip in and of itself. Secret sauce for wings. We do talk about this fact that it is a spicy sauce this week, but Sheila says that 5215 would be a good way to approach content creation too. I like that, right? Like, yep. I hear people all the time, I just don't know what to post on social media. Well, there you go. Terry's junior yellow legal pad. You and everything's content, by the way. Like I was talking to somebody the other day and they're like, yeah, I'm redoing my storage room, and you know, they make wreaths actually. And I've got all this ribbon everywhere. And I'm like, and then she was like, I just don't know what to post on social media. I'm like, every single thing that you do in that process of like, scan the wall of ribbon that you have there and go, which colors stand out, right? Like everything's content. So have that legal pad there to write that stuff down. I love that. And then Doug says, I'm a shop of one. You two are my trainers. Your ideas transfer to any business. So there you go. Thank you, Doug. All right. Well, hey, Terry, let's take a quick break right here. And then we'll come back and we've got several more for you guys, but I want to give people an opportunity to check out our success group. So Eric, whenever you're ready. As a small business owner, the journey can often feel overwhelming. It can feel like you're overworked, underappreciated, and alone. At our success group, we guide you to uncover the fundamentals necessary for success and lead you to fall in love with your business. We provide the foundational support and guide you towards a business that you love, not just a job that you dread. With OSG, we tackle aligning your business with your reason or purpose, defining a pricing strategy tailor-made for your business, and pave the way for you to identify your ideal customer. This is just scratching the surface. The mindset shift we provide is the game changer. We're here to support you every step of the way. Take a chance on yourself, trust in your potential, and let OSG guide your first steps towards lasting fulfillment. Go to osg.link/try-OSG. All right, you guys, check that out. Terry, I don't have it yet, but actually it might be as early as today. We're doing a new program, not new, but so we do monthly training there in our success group. And so the members, so if you sign up for membership, you'll get part of this, but we're doing a two-part series in January all about planning and goal setting and really deep diving into this stuff. And so we're going to have that for the members also. So that's one reason why I wanted people to try to go ahead and check that out. And then the other part of it, like if you're not a member and it's not really right for you, but you still want to get in on that, we're going to have an opportunity for people to do that as well. So stay tuned. More details coming on that over at oursuccessgroup.com. So, all right. Well, are you ready for my next one here?
I am. Let's okay. Move forward.
Let's do it.
Aaron, okay. I have to confess, as always, I thought, I don't know if we have enough content, and we have 20 minutes left.
Okay. All right. We got this. We'll be all right. All right. Well, so the next thing I think that we should be thinking about in planning for 2024 is making sure we're really focused on a customer-centric approach. I do think that 2024 is going to be a good year, but I also think there's going to be some cautiousness to the buyers and to just kind of, you know, it's an election year. There's some unrest in the world. And I truly believe that it's crucial that decorators make decisions based on their unique business foundation, right? That they need to be very clear about what their reasons and values are and who exactly their ideal customers are, and then what specifically they solve for those ideal customers, right? So just really focusing in on what, you know, we spend a lot of time looking at our numbers and kind of going, oh, here's all the things that I sell. So we know exactly what our customers buy. But I think the more important question to ask ourselves is, why do our customers buy from us? Right? Like, there is a reason, right? You're not the only screen printer in town. You're not the only embroiderer in town or you know, available, right? So why is it that they choose you over somebody else, and really understanding deeply what that means? And so I think just really kind of getting an opportunity to, like you said, pause and reflect and maybe even start setting up some meetings with your top 20% of your customers and just, you know, thank them for the year, thank them for their support, and really just have that conversation about, hey, I just would really like to know at a deep level why you buy from me and what we can do to make your life even easier, right? Just really kind of get in close, right? And so, you know, because ultimately I think I want to be asking, you know, do my services really meet their complete needs, right? Are they kind of coming to me, but they don't realize I do this, or, you know, they're kind of like, maybe there's more business there that I just am not aware of because I haven't had those conversations with them. And then, you know, the other thing to look at is what processes or, you know, the ways we've always done it. We've talked about that a lot, right? It's, sometimes we just need to improve things, but you probably have processes or ways you've always done something that maybe don't serve your customers as well as they maybe could, right? So what needs to be changed along those lines? And then, you know, taking that to the next level, what policies do you have out there that need to be rewritten to focus on what's in it for the customer? Maybe that you're not changing the idea of the policy, but does it need to be rewritten so the customer actually understands it's for their benefit, not because you were pissed off at somebody someday and you know, it's like, you know, oh, rush orders have to be no. If you get the rush orders in by 2, we can make sure that your experience is great and you will have it by, you know, this, as opposed to, you know, the other side of that, of like, you silly, stupid customer, you're always late and yada, yada, yada. So that's kind of my idea there, Terry, just really take a deep look into what a customer-centric approach means to your business and how you interact with your, and I was very specific about saying ideal customers there, Terry, not just everybody that has money in their wallet, because that's going right. to get you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down. But it really kind of, who are the ideal customers and making sure that you're attracting them by focusing on their needs. So what are you?
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. And I love your comment about ways we've always done it. And, you know, the world is fast changing for a lot of reasons. And yeah, sometimes, and you know, how many times I said you have to be your own consultant. You need to take time. And that's one of the things that the reason we do this show every year is you have to sit down and kind of review your business and look at how you're doing things and look at how you're approaching things. And you know, at 10 years ago, this was the perfect way to do this process. Today, maybe not so much. And yeah. You know what? It's interesting too, Aaron, when you're trying to make changes in your business, the most resistance comes from your employees who've always done it this way.
yeah, exactly.
So,
and if you can, you know, entice them to understand that it's actually going to be better for them, right? It's just getting over that fear of change.
Exactly. So, those initial changes that you're making, that there is some resistance, but yeah, as people see improvements, then all of a sudden they're looking around about, well, what else could we do better? What else could we do differently? So
for sure.
But you got to get the ball rolling.
For sure. All right. Well, let's keep moving. We, like you said, we got plenty of content to get to here. So,
and we don't have next week to catch up. So
we don't.
Take a look back at your 2023 expenses, you know, compared to 2022 and beyond, maybe your last healthy year before COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear people talk about inflation and inflation is gone now because it's slowed down. Guess what? Everything costs more. Anybody who's been to the grocery store knows everything costs more. Anybody who's buying ink or thread or substrates, it all costs more. And we can't expect inflation to turn into deflation. The prices that we have now, they're not going to go away. We need to take a look at what our expenses are. Does anything stand out? Is there anything you can remove or tighten up, do better? And how does this impact? And Aaron, this is really for you. How does this impact what you're charging? Because, you know, there's a major manufacturer in our industry that, during COVID posted they hadn't had a price increase in 8 years. And then they ended up having like 5 in a row because of costs going up. And then them looking at things going, man, I don't think we accounted for the last 5 price increases. And so you might find that maybe you sold the same amount, or you sold your sales are a little bit higher, but you made less money. And this is when I was running production at a large shop in Kansas City. This is something that myself and our accounting manager would do every single year. We'd go through and look at, and the reason I was involved in it is because we had 100 employees and 75 of them were in my department. So we would go through all the expenses, what we paid for everything, the inks and what we, you know, accounting for raises and things like that. So anyway, take a look at your expenses and see if bottom line, if you are accounting for that in your pricing.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And I think looking at this, all this stuff, right? So we do this every year. And again, some things are similar, but the process of operating a business and being a successful business is a cycle. It's not a, hey, I'm going to check my expenses, check it off the to-do list, and it's gone. It's, you know, repeatedly. Now, the longer you've been in business, you probably have some better data already. But if you're just starting your business, right, you may want to do this once a quarter, you know, at least maybe twice a year. And then definitely annually, though, I think annually is a minimum to go back and review, you know, what does it just cost you to be in business? Because if you don't know that number, then you're never going to know what to charge, right? You said, how does this impact what you charge? Well, how would you know what to charge? Oh, well, I'm just going to double it or go times three, or the Facebook group told me I should charge $8. Yeah, but at the end of the day, your costs are $12 to do it. So you're not going to make up losing $4 on every order in volume. We prove that at US Screen. sorry, Scott, I had to do it. So I guess the part that I wanted to also share, Terry, you talked about, you know, what can one, I guess this is a little bit of a double-edged sword, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is you have to be careful with this though. Our natural inclination is, how do I go cut costs, right? I don't want to raise my prices. I don't want to become more efficient. Those are hard to do. What I want to do is I just want to cut my costs, right? And so I'm going to go cheap on everything. But a lot of times that actually is worse for you, right? Well, I'm going to get the cheaper ink, or I'm going to get the cheaper this. Okay. Well, you maybe save money on that, but now it takes you three or four blanks to get a good one. So now you're wasting money on blanks. And it's hard to tie those two things together at first. So I think looking at your expenses, to me, when I look at my expenses and it says, hey, I need to do something here, the first, I call them levers. The first lever to pull is raise your prices. The second lever to pull is to get more efficient at what you're doing. So you're using less resources. And then finally, then once you have those two things and you're moving forward, then you can go look at creative ways to maybe cut costs, you know, buying more, working with your vendors, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, So I appreciate you sharing that. I think that's a really important thing for us to look at. Dot Tone Dan says, I got used to change early on when I got married. My wife changes every room in the house every 6 months. So there you go. That's some changes. And then Ramona says, laugh. Yeah, we all know those new prices will not roll back. Shipping is no longer a big issue, but things are still slow to arrive. All of this requires more lead time, right? And yeah. The post office sent a notice this year that they went to this new Ground Advantage service instead of first class package mail. And they actually reduced the prices on it. But then as I've gone through the year, they didn't reduce the price on it. They just didn't raise it as much as they normally do.
Yeah. That's just like when you watch the news and, you know, gas prices are down. Yeah, but they're still, you know, $1.50 more than they were two years ago.
They're down compared to what? Yeah, exactly.
It's all a relative thing.
Yeah. And Eric says, by the way, when cutting costs, marketing shouldn't be first. I think that's a really good point. Marketing should probably be last because you need to keep the business coming in. All right.
Somewhere Jay Bastel is nodding his head in agreement.
Yep, I'm sure he is. All right. Well, the next one here for me, Terry, is to become a goal getter. And planning and goal setting, they kind of go hand in hand. But I encourage you to make 2024 the year that you become a goal getter instead of a goal setter. There is a difference, and not just the letter at the beginning of the word. So, Terry, have you, and you probably have because I do love to share this story, but there's this thing called Quitter's Day. And it's scientific research has been done to kind of determine the average of when most people give up on their New Year's resolutions. Right? And a New Year's resolution is just goal setting. You know, you're setting a goal for yourself for the year. So Quitter's Day. So if anybody, you can type it in the comments, but I always get really funny guesses, like it's January 2nd or whatever. But Quitter's Day is actually the second week in January. Like that blew my mind. Like, as humans, our willpower only gets us 2 weeks into the year. So that's that first 2 weeks of the year, avoid the gym. And then after that, everybody's gone back home and sitting on their couch again, so you can go back to the gym. But I've heard, I don't go, but so the point is there's a real difference between being a goal getter and a goal setter. And so I just wanted to cover those differences real quick. And I think that'll help people plan a little bit more specifically. Like I said, this is a big part of what we're going to be doing in the OSG training coming up in January. So if you want more details about that, reach out to me. But let me give you these. I think these are the high points that'll really help you start heading in the right direction. So what makes a goal getter is something that's very vague. You know, I want to, if it's the New Year's resolution, I want to lose weight. If it's a business thing, you know, I want to earn more money. Okay, great. Here, Terry, here's a dollar. Now you've got more money. You're done? Good, right? I mean, that's what vague does. Vague's kind of a way to allow ourselves room for justification for why you didn't do it. Where a goal getter, they're very specific, like extremely specific. Some people maybe have heard of SMART goals, which is an acronym. That's a little complicated in my mind. So I think if you can get it very specific to these two things, how much and by when, like how specifically how much, and it doesn't have to always be money, right? Maybe for your business, it's how many new customers or how many new fundraising programs are you going to put together? How many new customers that do X amount of dollars with you, or, you know, how much impact you're going to make, right? Whatever that is for you, but get very specific about it and then put a very specific date on it, because our subconscious operates like it's going to save energy as long as it can. And if it's going, oh, that's vague, whenever, I'll get to it whenever. But if I'm going, okay, I've got to have this done by the end of the year or by June or whatever, now things start to get into motion. So that's number one. Number two is huge leaps. Goal getters want to take these huge leaps, right? Like going back to the resolution of I want to lose weight, and I'm going to go from 240 to 175. Like I just that's the jump I'm going to make, right? That's a big leap. It's not, if you tried to do that and you tried to do that as quickly as you could, it's really not healthy for you to do that, right? So same thing with our business. I want to go from zero to, you know, being $1 million a year business. Great to dream big. But a goal getter, they break it down, right? They look and go, okay, what's the first step that I can get to? And maybe it is, you know, maybe I go from zero to $10,000 or zero to X amount of dollars per day or whatever that, but kind of breaking it down. Or it could be just going from zero to, okay, I'm going to get to be $1 million business. But first, I've got to make sure that I've got a social media following, or I've got to make sure that I have got, five new customers a day, or right. So just breaking it down into manageable chunks that then we can get our brains around that. And we can actually believe that that's possible to achieve. And then the last thing that I can share here is a goal setter. They normally just keep it to themselves, that it's hidden because they have some fear. Like if I put it out there, I actually have to achieve it, or, you know, people are going to think I'm too greedy, or people are going to think I don't work hard enough, or whatever that fear is. And so we just like, oh, you know, I don't want to tell anybody that I'm trying to lose weight. That's embarrassing. Right. I don't want to tell anybody that, you know, my business isn't where I need it to be yet. And I'm working on getting there. But a goal getter, they understand that success is a team sport. And therefore, they're going to share their goals with others, because then as humans, that's how we got to the top of the food chain. We help each other out. We're looking for ways to support and lift each other up. And if I know what your goal is, I might not have a solution for you right now. But when that random person shows up, I just had this happen just this last week. I met a guy in Atlanta. He told me what he was doing. He gave me all of his ideas and his goals. And we talked about things. And it was like, great. It's a great conversation, good relationship. There was really nothing for us to do together. Somebody reached out to me and said, hey, can you do this? And I'm like, not really what I do. But oh, by the way, I remember this guy who's trying to do this. And I made the connection, right? So by sharing his goals with me, I was able to give him a resource that might help him get closer to that. So, yeah. So that's the difference between goal getter and goal setter. And that's my next thing is just make this the year that you are a goal getter.
You know, Aaron, I think a good example of this, when you talk about sharing it, if you go into work on January 1st and say, you know, I'm going to try to lose, my plan is to lose 20 pounds by March 1st. And you share that, the person who's going by Krispy Kreme might think, you know what, I'm not going to take donuts into the office today. I mean, that's the kind of thing you're talking about.
Exactly.
It's in people's heads. And something kind of related to this is one of the things that I do on a production floor is a track downtime when like in a screen printing shop, when presses are down, tracking all that information, compiling it all together and saying, here are the seven things that cause downtime on the press. And I always say to people, don't try to fix all seven things right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Take the one that takes the most downtime and fix that. And until you see that has disappeared or has lessened to a significant amount, then go look at number two, the thing that causes the most downtime. Because if you try to do it all, you're going to do nothing. So I think 100%. Kind of like what you're saying there.
It's
so
exactly what I'm saying, Terry.
This is relatable to other parts of your business as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or your personal life.
Yeah, I love it. No, you're 100% right. Both of those examples are exactly it. Like you said, it may not be a very specific thing in that very moment, but like you said, Aaron's trying to lose weight. I probably don't want to give him a dozen Krispy Kremes because I would eat those. All right, what's next for us here, Terry?
Okay, my next one is cut your losses. And by cutting your losses, I'm talking about what processes we're using that. Aren't effective anymore. Maybe it's an employee. There's employees that cause a black cloud in your production shop or your business. Maybe it's time to cut those losses. Don't make a Hallmark movie of it. Let's not do it on Christmas Eve. Maybe it's equipment that's just not effective or not efficient, or maybe it's customers. And it's kind of, this is the year in review, start the year with a clean slate. My example I've given before is there's a screen printing shop in Maryland, and every year the management staff, they sit down and they talk about which customer caused us the most grief this year. and they fire that customer. They don't call up and say, hey, you're fired, but they do call up and say, listen, we've got a lot of new projects going and we're not going to be able to service your account this year. And because, as we all know, there's probably one or two customers that cause 80% of our grief. I was talking to Harry Oster at Equipment Zone yesterday, and we were talking about customers that in the buying process that are so aggravating that at some point you think, what kind of a customer is this going to be? What kind of relationship are we going to have with this customer? And sometimes you just have to say, you know, I don't think this is a good fit, and cut your losses. So take a look at your entire business. Maybe you're going to make a list of processes, employees, equipment, customers, whatever it is that life would be better without. I had an employee once years ago that, you know, you kind of kept him around. He was pretty good at what he did, but he just made everybody's life miserable. And I gave him an opportunity. When I let somebody go, I give you the opportunity to keep your job. Here's what needs to change. And we're going to review this in 2 weeks. And you're going to know whether or not you're staying or not based on what you accomplish here. And when I let this person go, the next day, employees came up to me and they said, it's like there's a breath of fresh air in here. People, yeah. I mean, people didn't want to be around this guy. He was snapping yeah. at everybody, you know? And so anyway, I don't want to end mine on a negative, but maybe it's not a negative. Cutting your losses is going to make, as I said, a clean slate for the coming year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the important part, a clean slate. So, and then don't tell Terry. Well, I guess I did, but I've got a junior yellow legal pad right here. All right. So let's, I got one more. And then we got a little bit to close up. So we are going to have some bonus time since we're off for 2 weeks. If that's your schedule allows for just a little extra time here, Terry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's,
I'm doing is wrapping things up. I'm on vacation at 5 o'clock today.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. Well, the last one that I've got for us for 2024 here is to take a look at your support system, right? If you ever want to get into an unending argument with me, try to explain to me why you believe that success is something you can do alone, right? That you're so independent, you don't need any help, right? I've said this when I was talking about being a goal getter, that success is a team sport. And one of the most important things that I believe we can do to ensure success in 2024 is to be really intentional about your, what I would call a success team, right? And so, I just spaced who I believe it's attributed to. It'll come to me in a second, but you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. Nope, it still hasn't come to me who's quoted as saying that. But if you really think about that, that is the reality, right? You are the kind of the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So I think the first thing to do is just be intentional about this. Now, you don't have to tell the people, but make a list. Go to your junior yellow legal pad, make a list of all the people that you spend the most time with, right? And then on that list, this is the part you don't want to tell them, but right away, so you need to have a conversation
with
them.
Don't leave
this lying about. Yeah, exactly. But you're gonna basically, you know, is this somebody that is helping me be more successful, more positive, more intentional? Put a plus by that name, right? If they're just, you know, whatever, they're take them or leave them, they're not really helping you, but they're not like the anchor, right? Then you just put an equal sign there. And then there'll be some people on the list that you've got to put a negative sign next to, right? They're always complaining. They you know, are always questioning everything that you do. There's no real support there. It's not them being constructive. It's just criticism all the time. And the sky is always falling and that kind of thing. You put a negative sign next to those folks. And then now it's time to be intentional, right? Is we need to make sure that we've got more plus signs around us. And so if there are some negative signs that are in your top five, I'm not saying you have to just go cut off the relationship completely. I mean, it could be, you know, my dad knows this. For a little bit, it was my dad was one of the negative signs on my list, right? And yet he's my best friend. So it's like, okay, I had to have a conversation with him. I'm like, Dad, I can't do all this complaining all the time, right? I get it that it's cold, or I get it that it's hot, but you can't change that. So let's figure out there you go. Thank you, Eric, for the attribution there, the Jim Rome. Thank you. So anyhow, be intentional with that. Again, not having to like cut off any relationships, but sometimes it requires a little bit of a conversation. And you know, so we were able to do that. Another thing that you can do to kind of enhance your support team is to hire a virtual assistant. You know, even if you're a solopreneur, business of one, like Doug said earlier, having somebody that can just take care of the, I wouldn't call it busy work, but the stuff that, you know, like, is it really worth your time to be scheduling social media? You know, maybe you're creating the content, that's fine, but actually scheduling it and kind of managing that, or even just managing your email inbox for that matter. This can be done by a virtual assistant. There's programs out there where, if you think you can't afford it, you can. In fact, I would say you can't afford that time that you're wasting. You need that time more valuably than the program I use is called iWorker. And my VA costs $7 an hour. I think for $7 an hour, I can, that hour that I get back from that $7, I think I could make more than $7 with that hour. So think about that. The other thing about your support system is, as you were talking about cutting your losses, Terry, it made me think about this too. And even though I already had it on my list, but I'm like, this ties together perfectly. Leave some Facebook groups. There's a Facebook group that you're in that you get notifications for, that you get sucked into the drama, the blaming, complaining, the excuse making. And how is that really serving you, right? Are you really getting any benefit out of that? So just leave it. Some people are like, oh, just turn off notifications. Just leave it, right? Get rid of it. And then maybe instead of going to everybody else's Facebook group that doesn't actually serve you, maybe you create your own Facebook group where you're bringing in your ideal customers and building a community with them. Right. So I know that we need the information, and I love that we have these community decorator kind of Facebook groups out there that help and support each other to a certain extent. But if that's what you're doing all day, you're not interacting with your customers. So just think about that. And then last but not least, I think this year for me has really proven this fact. We've been doing mastermind programs for a couple of years, but I was able to really enhance that this year, doing a program with our friend Lauren from Handmade Sellers University, and got a couple of mastermind programs running over there. And the Masters of Success has really been great for the members there. So I think being a part of a true mastermind program could be something. So if you're kind of on the fence, but you're like, you know what, I really need to increase my support system, looking at a program like Masters of Success or Handmade Seller Society or whatever you find out there that fits with what you're looking for. You know, maybe it's Radical Goal Getters is another program that I'm a part of. Those are ones that I know because I'm a part of them, but there's plenty of different programs out there. I think looking for something like that, like I'm going to be really intentional personally about recreating my own personal mastermind this year. Right. So it's great to support the decorators, but I need to get some peers around me too. So, yeah, love that.
Love it.
And then Vic Patel just added real quick before you, your take there, shed the negative forums and join the ones that empower you. Good advice. Yeah. Thank you, Vic. Appreciate that. All right, Terry, what's your take on the support system? You're a plus sign. So just to get that out of the way. Eric is as well. So. Thank you.
But, I think I want to drill down a little bit on just one of the things you talked about.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, hiring the VA and so that you're not spinning your wheels doing menial things. I've talked about this before on the show. You should do for a week or 2 weeks, get a graph, and every 15 minutes write down what you're doing in your business. And I did this years ago, and I was amazed at what I was spending my time doing. And the example that I learned was I was spending 60% of my time doing something about scheduling production. Yeah. And so I have a system for scheduling production. It's very easy to do, but I was spending a lot of time doing that rather than out on the production floor and training or things like that. So I hired a part-time mm-hmm. employee to come in, and she was a working mom. She needed to be off work when her kids came home from school. Perfect for me. She came in about 5 hours a day, and she would do all the scheduling. All the scheduling functions were laid on her desk, and she would take care of it for me. So awesome. Everybody should do that. Everybody should take a week, and every 15-minute block, write down the primary thing that you were doing during that 15 minutes. And I think you will be amazed, and maybe you won't be spending quite so much time on the internet or, you know, yeah. I always tell people in my classes, because they, you know, I always talk about, you know, the internet and people getting advice on the internet. And I'm always, if you see somebody posting 5 or 10 times a day about how you should run your business, that's not a good person to follow, because they're obviously not running their business. They're sitting here on a Facebook group trying to be the smartest guy in the room. So
yeah,
that's my take.
Good point. I love that. And that time study idea, Terry, I have borrowed that from you. We talk about it quite regularly inside of our success group. And we typically try to do like a 2 week period. So you get, you know, just in case you have kind of a weird week, you know, you get the full full take on that. But yeah, so I've borrowed that from you. Occasionally I give you credit for it, but most of the time I don't. So I apologize.
the first time you get credit.
Well, definitely the first time, but I still occasionally even now give you credit for it. So when I say just take a yellow legal pad, I say that's Terry's part. For me, go use a program like Toggle and you can do it online and automatically track things.
Or this was Terry's idea. Here's how I made it better.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. All right. Well, Terry, this has been great. And we appreciate the folks that have tuned in live here and their comments. And I think, you know, from our standpoint, Terry, we're just really excited about 2024. I think we're ready to take this journey with you. You know, we're going to be into our 12th season and I don't feel like we're slowing down. So, I'm excited about that. And, you know, we need the regulators now more than ever, though. This is episode 528. So your feedback is going to be crucial that how we grow this and how we continue to bring you the best information in the industry. So you got to tell us, right? We need to get closer to you, our customers, so to speak, our regulators here. And what do you need support with? You know, what are you struggling with? What would be a good topic? Who would be a great guest to bring on to the two regular guys? What would you like to hear, right? Who should we be reaching out to? Do you want to join us, right? So info@tworegularguys.com is the best way to get in touch with us. Or you can just reach out to us directly on the social media channels. Or if you want to be a guest, just go to calendly.com/tworegularguys. And we are already booking guests for next year. But I just want to make sure that, you know, Terry and I and Eric, we want to make sure that this program is not just fun for us, right? It's valuable for you guys because we have a blast doing it. But, you know, we just thank you guys for spending your Friday mornings with us, I guess, is what I wanted to kind of close with. Terry, what about you?
Yeah, you know, I love the idea about suggestions. And I just had an example, Tom Rivett, who listens to the show. He's a teacher on the East Coast. And he suggested to us just the other day, hey, what about a show where, and because he's got, you know, high school students, a show that talks about career opportunities in the industry. And we were both like, oh my gosh, that's an awesome idea. So Tom, if you're listening today, we're working on it. We're going to
we're on it. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, yeah. I've had a couple of reach outs based on, like you said, you know, the Skills USA thing, I think fits perfectly in there. So we'll find somebody related, I believe, and see if we can talk about that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But beyond that, 2024, I'm excited. We're all excited. I think it's going to be a great year. So
I do too.
Be here with us. Please.
Yep. We're going to take a 2-week break and then, you know, right back in 2024, we'll be coming back. We'll talk about it in just a little bit, but you know, we've got another annual show coming up right when we get back in. So Terry, speaking of coming up, what do you have in the big book of travel coming up for 2024 here?
Yes, my complete screen printing business course, Workhorse Products, and here in Phoenix, January 13th and 14th. This class is filling up. So I had 5 people sign up yesterday. So, and awesome. Hey, it's in Phoenix in January. So perfect time. But one of the 3 of the folks are coming from New Jersey, 2 of them are coming from Indiana. And I have a feeling they picked the Phoenix class for a reason in January.
I would think that that's
my next class in Chicago will be at Atlas Screen Supply March 9th and 10th. I will be in the Equipment Zone booth in Long Beach at Impressions Expo January 19th through 21st. And I will be hosting a Q&A on Saturday featuring Mel Lay, Stan Banks, and Zach Acorn. I'm speaking at the Impressions Expo in Atlantic City. I'm doing that presentation, everything you've heard about DTG and DTF printing on the internet is wrong. It's going to be March 22nd on Friday. Watch for all of my upcoming events at terrycombs.com. And Aaron, I see you've drawn a line through.
Yeah, I've got lots of things in the works, but really nothing to share. So I think I'll just share Eric's. That way we can kind of keep things moving forward.
Read slowly because he's typing. I see him adding to his
No, it's all good. Yeah, like I said, I've got quite a few things in the works, but I'm not quite ready to fully announce everything. The OSG Live every Wednesday morning, you guys have heard me talk about that, but just go to liveosg.com and check that out. But Eric today. He's got Take Up episode 178. I think he is going like every other one. So he's catching up. No.
When he passes us, we're like, wait a minute.
No, the Take Up is such a great program. He puts so much into it and gives so much value. So if you have not caught the Take Up, do yourself a favor. Make today that day, episode 178, Stitches by the Numbers. Stitches by the Numbers. And so in this episode, he's going to discuss the critical numbers and variables that make stitches look the way that they do. If you wonder why he talks so much about measurements, figures, and counts, you'll get the full explanation today. And I'm sure it'll be another one of his short shows, an hour and a half or so, typically. But just a plethora of information. So if you head over to ericcampbell.com and you click that Take Up tab at the top, you can actually go back and see all 177 other episodes and then join in today for Stitches by the Numbers. And then speaking of giving and education and whatnot, Eric will be teaching the Embroidery Technique Toolkit Workshop. And he's going to be doing that in conjunction with Justin Armenta and Joe Kramer at the Impressions Expo out in Long Beach, California. So if you're somebody that wants to break the rules or learn how to break the rules, create elevated 3D puff embroidery, and captivate customers with specialty stitches, that workshop is for you. So you can join all three of those fine gentlemen for three back-to-back sessions followed by a digitizing office hours. It'll be awesome. January 18th. And then also look for some announcements coming soon in relation to Atlantic City, the Impressions Expo in Atlantic City. Also, speaking of announcements coming soon, look for announcements about DAX. The first show is in February in Kansas City, and Eric will be teaching there. I will be teaching there as well. So time to get back out on the road again.
On the road again.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you've stayed all the way to the end, you now get your secret helping of the secret sauce. So Terry, you ready?
I'm ready. Let's hear it, Aaron.
All right. So what do you believe is worth labeling your business a business that you love? For me, I think it's something that is so near and dear to our heart that it becomes part of who we are. So this week's secret sauce, I want to dive into a fundamental truth. Success in business is simple, right? It's simple, but far from easy. So there's the balance, right? So I want to unpack that with you guys real quick. So imagine a business that you're proud to tell others about, one that motivates you even on the hard days. This isn't just a venture. It's really part of your identity. But how do we get there, right? And so in my 30 plus years of being around small businesses, I've seen lots of owners, they just get lost, right? They're chasing the shiny object. They're following a self-serving guru, and they kind of end up overwhelmed. And so what I've discovered is that they're missing a crucial step, right? That step is they've got to build a foundation for their business. They have to have that foundation building mindset of a business owner, as opposed to carrying forward the employee mindset that maybe they came to the table with. So the great news is that building a foundation is very simple. It's accessible to anyone, regardless of your background or skills, right? Anyone can do it without any special skills. All the different types of people have done it for years and years, and they've done it in all different types of ways. So the beauty of the simplicity is that it's inclusive and it's universal. So think about it this way. Think of running a half marathon, right? And I know some people might shake their heads when I say this, but it's very simple in concept. The concept of running a half marathon is very simple. You run 13.1 miles, right? You put one foot in front of the other approximately 20,000 times, depending on how long your legs are and how deep your stride is, right? So, but as I learned recently, a couple of years ago in my 40s, the reality of running a half marathon, it involves training, it involves mental toughness, and it involves persistence. And business success is the same. It's simple, but it's not easy. So in 2022, I ran a half marathon, and I do plan to do it again. And you know, you guys might think I'm crazy, but I do. I think it's a worthwhile endeavor. It's just a mental challenge, but it's not easy to do, right? And so that's why it's like, I can't just go out and run it. So when I ran in 2022, it took me 3 hours and 10 minutes. And really a good chunk of that 3 hours and 10 minutes was me questioning my own sanity. Right? And so now on the flip side of that, the gentleman who won that particular race, they made it look effortless from what I would imagine, right? He finished in 1 hour and 10 minutes. And if you're doing the math at home, I get it, right? He would have lapped me probably almost twice if he would have kept going. That's not the point here, right? The point is, even though he maybe made it look easy, I know that he probably had some of the same doubts in his head. But the difference was he had done the work, right? He'd put in all the miles and developed the ability to run a half marathon in just over 1 hour, right? I was out there struggling at the back of the pack for 3 hours, but I didn't spend my year training for that half marathon, right? And doing the work, right? I spent my time creating content, writing my book, and just leading our success group. So not training for half marathon. So the point is, to make our business seem effortless to others, we have to start with some sort of a spark, right? That spark transforms into a fire, and it really just helps us manage the challenges and celebrate the victories. It's about kind of nurturing the seed of your business, so to speak. And all of that leads you to then being willing to put in the work, right? Put in the miles to learn, to lead, to grow, to do the training, to create more mental toughness, to have persistence even in the hard days. And so the secret sauce here is the fuel for that spark. And it's your reason, right? Some people might call it a purpose, a mission, a vision, a passion, your inspiration. In our success group, we call it the reason. And your reason is not superficial. It's very profound and deep inside of you. In fact, it's really hard to put language to because it is so deep inside of you. And it goes beyond financial gains. No one truly started their business to make money. And I know that sounds like you're crazy. That's why I started my business. But here's the reality. It's about understanding why you chose this business, why you chose this path to make money, as opposed to just having that predictable 9-to-5 job, right? So the path is simple, but the journey is far from easy. So embrace it and let your reason dig deep into the roots and find out what your reason, that guiding force to lasting success. I truly believe that everyone who is willing to work and build their foundation will have a successful business. Ultimately, your reason must be bigger than your excuses. So there is my secret sauce for today.
All right, do the work. In fact, do good work and deliver on time.
There you go. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. And it is, yeah, I know I just talked about it, but it does come back to like, why am I doing this, right? If you can't answer that question, why I'm doing this, then it's time to kind of regroup, come back to this planning, right? That's kind of what the cool part about it being almost the beginning of the year is, we have that opportunity to kind of reset and go, okay, why am I doing this again? So, all right, kind Terry. Yes. All right. Well, plenty of great bonus information today. We have come to the close of another show, though, finally. And I thank the regulators for this amazing year in 2023. We had a great Reggie season. We had so many great guests and so many great people joining us. Everybody that joins in the live comments or has commented on the recorded shows or on podcasts, right? We just want to thank everybody and really appreciate all of their support through 2023 and looking forward to that same support in 2024, Terry.
Absolutely. And we also want to thank Eric Campbell for another year of great work as our show producer. Eric, you are much appreciated, my friend.
Very much appreciated. Yes, indeed. Well, Terry, so as we've kind of already mentioned, but no show for the next 2 weeks. It's a little breather time for us to really plan what 2024 is going to look like for Two Regular Guys too. But please don't go anywhere. Meet us right back here, same time, same channels, right back here on January 5th. And Terry and I are going to share what we'd like to see in 2024. It's kind of we get out the crystal balls a little bit. We try to like kind of look ahead. And then sometimes we put out things there where like, you know what? We need to take and run with that. So we'll see. We'll see how we do this year. And I'm looking forward to that show on January 5th, Terry.
Me as well. And it's kind of always fun to look back at the previous year as well of what we'd like to see and what actually happened. So
yeah,
until indeed. Next year, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And we are the two regular guys.
Here we go. We're out.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number two, regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.